confusion and the fears of those who participated in and witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. We heard the cries of "Crucify him." And we witnessed through the dramatic reading the bewilderment of Judas and Peter, who couldn't explain their actions that they took against Jesus. We heard of the sorrow of Jesus' mother and the despair of Mary Magdalene. We watched as light was extinguished. And through communion, we received Christ's body and blood broken and shed for us. We were invited to receive forgiveness anew. And we were invited to wait with Jesus until the light breaks through the darkness. And today we join in celebration over Jesus' triumph over death. And we give thanks that darkness has not, will not overcome the light. And we receive the promises of Jesus post-resurrection with hope and with joy this morning. We are invited to receive these promises. We left in darkness on Friday, and we re-enter today into God's light. For the disciples who experienced Jesus' resurrection, this was a new beginning for them. The palm branches that had been thrown aside, discarded as they lost hope in all things, they can now be picked up again and waved with a new understanding, a new awareness, with a new joy that indeed Jesus warranted their hosannas, that he was indeed their Messiah, that he did conquer the grave, that he was with them. Hosanna, Hosanna. We can say that again this morning. And just like on Good Friday, we come back this morning. As many of us have heard this story year after year, we are invited to enter the Easter story anew. We come to find something new and something meaningful to our own faith journeys, a new understanding, a renewed hope and belief, a brighter light of Christ in places that have grown dim. We come open to the fullness of the resurrected Jesus within our journeys. And this morning, we join the followers of Jesus in their post-resurrection encounter with him. As a reminder, this resurrection was very, very fresh to them. We're talking just a day in between their grief and this resurrection. And my hope is that as we journey together this morning, that the resurrection of Jesus will also renew each of us as if we are experiencing it for the first time. Following the resurrection, it was Jesus who approached his disciples to be present with them. Jesus initiated time with them in their suffering, in their grief, in their fears, and in their doubts. He initiated contact with them to help and support them in their suffering and to help them move into a full understanding of who Jesus was in this resurrected state, that he was a resurrected Savior and friend. In the days following his resurrection, in the days when his disciples are at their lowest, Jesus comes to them. Jesus walked to them. Jesus sought them out. Jesus showed them that he was with them on the hardest of days. In our suffering, in our confusion, and in our fears, Jesus also comes to be with us. He seeks us out. And this is one of the gifts of the resurrected Christ, that he comes to us. He has personal encounters with us, and he provides us fullness of his presence, showing us his deep care and his concern for us. In John chapter 20, which Ben and Olivia read to us this morning, we meet Mary weeping in the garden. She is right in the middle of an in-between place. She has seen Jesus die, but she has not yet seen evidence of his resurrection. She is full of grief. Her friend, the one that she followed, her Messiah, has died. We find Mary alone outside of his tomb. We don't know how long she has been waiting there. Some scholars say they believe that she never left, that she stayed close to him through the night. And as she was waiting there, she was anticipating all his promises that now seem so defeated through his death. Were they not true? Were they not going to come to be? Her tears represent her grief that comes with losing someone or something that we so dearly love. And it is in this time of loss and sorrow that Jesus was there with her. Initially, she didn't recognize him, but he was there. And in her time of tears and grief, it was Jesus who called out her name. Jesus initiates contact with Mary. And as he speaks her name, she recognizes him. Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned toward him, and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And in that moment, Mary's grief is turned to joy. Her hope has been renewed, and she leaves that place with the message, "I have seen the Lord." What Mary needed in her time of grief was that she needed this renewed time with Jesus. She needed to understand that in Jesus' death, there was a resurrection, and that she was not alone, that his love, his care, and his compassion and his promises were indeed with her. And it was Jesus that initiated this. She didn't have to go seeking. He came to her and he reminded her that "I am here. Mary, I am with you." In our times of tears and loneliness, it is the resurrection of Jesus that invites us to a faith that he comes to us, that he knows us by name, and that he remains with us until we recognize him and believe once again in the promises of Jesus that "I am with you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." On this Easter morning, where might you be weeping or experiencing emptiness or loss? And how can we lean into the promise of Jesus that he is with us? And it just may be that we haven't recognized him yet, but he is with us. As we continue in John chapter 20, we find that the disciples have locked themselves in a room because they are afraid. They're afraid of what might happen to them, afraid that who and what they had believed in and had followed had failed. But even though the doors were locked, even though their hearts and minds were locked in fear, Jesus came to them and he stood among them. Jesus again initiated contact with them. And as he came to them in their fears, he said, "Peace be with you." I see Luke Bowman here this morning, and I can't help but remember when he was going into his scariest day of surgery, that the words of his mother whispering, "I love you and I am with you," reminded him of Jesus' words, "I love you and I am with you." And those are the words and the presence of our resurrected Jesus. He comes to us in our fears and he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus knew what they were afraid about. He knew about their fears. And he knew that they had locked the door in fear and that they were not about to open it. They were not going to let go of these fears. Jesus knew and Jesus knows that their fears, that our fear, can prohibit us from unlocking the physical doors and also the doors of our hearts and our minds. We prohibit ourselves. We can't open them. But he comes. He comes to them. And in his presence, they are allowed to remember and receive the words of his promises that he has spoken. Jesus is with them. Jesus is with us. The resurrected Jesus desires to be with us in our fears. So he comes to us. He makes himself present and he offers us peace in the midst. Jesus knows when and why we are afraid, and he finds a way to come in. What a beautiful promise of our resurrected Lord. Author Ruth Haley Barton writes, "Jesus is not limited by our fears, and Jesus is not limited by our limitations." His word to us in our fears is peace. Before his death on the cross, Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for what was yet to come. He gave them a promise that he offered to them and that he offers to us. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." One of the ways that we know that Jesus is with us in our fears is when peace begins to push back our fears. When we sense peace coming in, we are brave to acknowledge, "Oh, Jesus, you are in the midst of this. You are here." His peace begins to lessen our fears. And I invite myself and you to let that happen, to begin to slowly release the fears that we carry and to receive his peace and his presence. So on this Easter morning, what door are you maybe keeping shut because of fear? What fear is limiting your hope in the promises of the resurrected Jesus? We are invited again to find Jesus' words and gift of peace in the midst of our fears. And huddled amongst these fearful disciples who have locked themselves in this room, there is the disciple Thomas. And I refer again to Ruth Haley Barton, who writes, "With Thomas, Jesus wants us to doubt our doubts. Thomas models times in our lives when we have real doubts in our faith and in our lives. And in these times, we are invited to seek the truths of Jesus. We are invited by Jesus' example to pursue a new understanding of his ways, and we are given his permission to tell him all about our doubts. In times of our wondering and in times of our doubting, Thomas can become a role model to us. We do know that Thomas wanted to believe. This we can be sure of. He wanted to believe, but he needs something further. He needs proof. You know me to be the pastor more on the emotional side. Thomas was going to his mind and saying, "I need proof that Jesus is indeed the Messiah and that he did rise." He needs to see Jesus himself. He doesn't want to just hear about other people's experiences. He needs to see Jesus himself. Thomas had real doubts. But within his doubts, he also had real curiosity and openness to having these doubts removed. He was open. He was curious. And Thomas is also very, very honest. He is hesitant to believe what he has heard the other disciples say. And so he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." He knows what he needs. And he claims that. Jesus wants Thomas to have everything that he needs in order to believe. I think this is so beautiful. Jesus wants Thomas to have everything he needs in order to believe, in order to continue to have faith in Jesus. And so Jesus creates this most personal example or experience and encounter with Thomas. The resurrected Jesus, who has already come into a room where they are locked in with their fears, he sees Thomas, he meets him in his doubts, and he offers him this experience. And then Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here with your fingers and see my hands and put your hand and place it in my side." He does exactly what Thomas said he needed to continue to believe. And then Jesus said, "I believe," in a words and a tone of deep encouragement. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Jesus initiated what Thomas needed in his time of doubting. And through this loving act of Jesus, Thomas was relieved of his doubts, and he proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." This was his expression of knowing Jesus is the resurrected Lord. And so on this Easter morning, we are invited to be open to our doubts and to bring them before Jesus. What doubt might you be experiencing this morning? A doubt in Jesus, or a doubt in something that has yet come to fruition in your life? What doubt do you desire to challenge this morning so that you can come to a place of belief? On the first Easter weekend, the disciples were deeply disillusioned. They were sad. They were afraid. And through each of these post-resurrection encounters that we have read about this morning, we see Jesus meeting his followers again in the exact way that they needed. And Jesus continues to do this for us. He creates personal encounters with us in order to help us continue on in our faith journeys. Jesus brought them comfort, he brought them peace, and he brought them new ways, new pathways of believing in him. Jesus went to them, and he reestablished relationship with them. He initiated the contact with them, which allowed the light to press through their darkness. And so again, on this Easter morning, what do you desire of the resurrected Jesus? Are you able to acknowledge that Jesus is near you, that Jesus is with you in your places of sadness, of fear, and doubt? Each of us is invited to believe anew that Jesus comes to us, that he knows us in our sorrows and in our fears and in our disbeliefs, and that he comes to us and that he calls us by name. He comes to us with his presence, with his peace, and with his truths. And we can know this resurrected Jesus. This morning we can say, maybe for the first time, "I believe in this resurrected Jesus." Or maybe we're saying it again, "I believe, my Lord and my God, Hosanna, Christ has risen." We're going to move into a time of practice, of welcoming the resurrected Jesus into our lives. There are tables around the gym, and on each table there are strips of paper and pens, and you are invited to go to a table and to write down a sorrow, a worry, a fear, a doubt, a confession, maybe a confusion. And after you've written those down, you're invited to come and to place those into one of the baskets on this table, and then to receive one of the promises that were given to the disciples in the days following his resurrection. So I'm going to invite you to go to a table, to take your time writing something down that you will offer to Jesus, believing that the resurrected Jesus will work with that and to offer you a promise. So go forth and find a table. and write down and then come and give those to Jesus. Do you want to go with Bree?
Sure.
Go first, back. Go back. Facing a sorrow, a fear, or a doubt, a worry, we are each invited to pause and to orient ourselves toward Jesus. The important part is we invite ourselves to pause and to orient ourselves around Jesus, to remember his promises and to receive his peace and his presence. For this is the way of the resurrected Jesus. He comes to us. He initiates contact. And we celebrate this morning that he has conquered death and darkness for he is the light of the world. Let's stand and sing if you are able.
Even the sparrow has a place to lay its head. So why would I, when worry steal my bread? Even the roses you have clothed with brilliant red, still I